I'm here in Britis and I'm talking to Eamon Hines. Eamon, have you always been living here?
Yes, we've been here all our lives. I'm the fourth generation of Hineses here.
Was your father's name?
Ned Hines. Edward. And his, I can't think of his, but they used to call him the Tupney Hines. Malachy Horden's book, if you ever got that, is all about him in it. He was a blacksmith. He used to shoe the horses.
Here in Britis?
Yeah, here in the yard here. Because this road was made before the other road, the main road. And the horsey men going to from Ballinocken into town with the stones to build the houses, they used to go up this way. And he used to shoe the horses for them.
So this this cottage you're living in here, this was the original house, though, was it?
No, we knocked it down when it was an old thatched house and real small windows in it. You couldn't open them or anything. So we knocked it down and we built on this.
But you kept the same look and the same shape.
Yeah, it's nearly the same. Well, it's built on the same foundations and all. Only it's blocked. The other was all stone. A stone job, do you know?
Yeah. And the forge was next door here.
Yeah, down at the bottom of the yard, at the end of the house here. And there was a big hole where they used to shoe the wheels, do you know?
And it was Tupney Hines.
Tupney Hines, yeah.
Is that because
he sold a hammer or something one time for drink, and someone gave him tuppence for it. The drink was very cheap that time.
Yeah.
And of course, all he wanted was to get into the pub and in tell yardens and all. The drink came free then, you know.
Yeah.
So now.
Well, talk to me about, you know, the old road. This place was, were there your neighbours? Were there a lot of other houses along here?
Yeah, we had a neighbour down the road here, just this old house down the road here. His name was Jim Hodgins, and he was related to us some way too. So my father used to do a lot of work for him as well in the evening time and that.
Do you remember the forge up and
going? No, I don't. Some of the old tools belonged to it still. You know, the old tongs and things were taken out, the things out of the fire.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Eamon? Did you go to school down the road?
Yeah, I was in Kappa Hospital for 3.5 years in the bed without ever getting out of it. Now,
with TB?
I had a short leg, and it was 4.5 inches short, and I'd done 3.5 years in the bed in Kappa without ever getting out of it. And then I came home, and I had an iron on my boot, 4.5 inches. And then I went into the Adelaide under Mr. Sugars, and he operated on it. He took a bone out of the shin and he grafted it into my hip. So my hip is locked. I can't bend it, only the knee. So he lengthened the leg by doing that.
My goodness. Yeah. And you're fine now. You got over all of that fine. Yeah, but it was and you were a young lad when that happened.
Yeah, I was only 7 years old. I don't even remember my mother. She died with TB too. You know, it was raging that time in the 40s. There was no cure for it.
But around here in particular, wasn't there? There seemed to be a lot of people seemed to get knocked out with the TB.
Yes.
And of course, you had the sanatorium was just down the road.
And then Piemont, it was another sanatorium one time. And St. Lomans. And then they had another one, Newtown Mount Kennedy. Hmm. So they found out after that the country air was bad for it, you know. But Dr. Noel Brown is the man that cured all that. All his family died with it. He'd only one lung himself. He nearly died as well.
And Britis itself, I'm looking out at the mountains here.
Yeah.
Lovely place. But what was it like back in the 40s and 50s, was it a place that people came to, or was
No, there was nothing in it for anybody that time. You had a shop down the end of the road here. Joe's aunt had it, and the pub. There was only two things that was in it. Post office.
And did people use Sally Gap going over to take the shortcut over towards Bray?
Very little traffic on it that time, on the Sally Gap, because my father used to, the only time traffic was on that was on a Sunday. Bicycle race used to come in it or that. He used to go to First Mass in Kilbride and go on up to get turf for people. He used to draw turf for people. And they might get to throw maybe 20 sods up into the lorry, and then a load of cars will come and start blowing. And you have to move a half a mile to get somewhere to pull in to let them go. So he had to abandon drawing his turf on a Sunday.
And a lot of traffic on a Sunday, yeah, particularly. Yeah. Yeah.
But during the week, you could be on it till the following Sunday, you know,
yeah,
if you broke down or anything on it.
Yeah. And was it, you know, when you think of farming up here, must have been very difficult because the land wasn't really great.
Yeah.
Was it?
Well, in 63, now with the big fall of snow, and we'd no water here in the house, and that road was blocked out there for 6 weeks with snow. And we had cattle here at the time, and we used to have to fill barrels with snow and light lorry tyres and melt the snow to give the cattle a drink. And you couldn't give it to them till the next day because the water would be cooled, you know, till it cooled off.
And you remember that quite well, do you?
I do, yes, yeah. Indeed. And we had to walk down to Jobstown to get a bit of bread from the baker. He couldn't get up.
Yeah. Because you are high up here,
yeah,
and
yeah,
and you can imagine that, and I'd say it's a breezy place too. Would that be? I
oh,
mean,
yeah,
would you get plenty of breeze?
Yeah, plenty of fresh air up here, I tell you that.
Did you do any bit of farming yourself?
Oh yeah, I worked for that girl gone out, Heather Beauty. I worked for her father for 35 years up on the farm, growing carrots and onions and all them for the restaurant, and milking the Jersey cows.
And as a young lad, you started that, did you?
Yeah,
as soon as you
yeah,
got over
yeah,
your
yeah,
your
yeah.
TV, and did you that work working with the farmers was that something that you know kept you?
Oh
did,
yeah.
Was it, can you describe what you did in a day with when you were working with?
Well,
them?
I used to milk 7 Jersey cows, clean 2 buckets of eggs, and feed hens. Then it was dinner time, came home, got me dinner, went back up again then and done the same, collected more eggs and cleaned them and all.
You dug carrots so, did you?
Yeah,
as well?
Done carrots and onions for the restaurant.
Yeah.
And used to kill chickens as well, a few hens every day.
Yeah.
So now.
And was that something that I know the money wasn't great that
no,
you just
geez,
just kept you going, doesn't it?
I'll show you, I have a pay slip here, I'll show it in just a minute. 70 there up there, see that, the year, 78.
In 1978, yeah.
Yeah, I was getting, what was I getting, 34.50.
For the week?
Yeah, for the week.
Yeah, and that would have to keep you going then.
Yeah.
And at that stage, of course, when did you get married then?
We got married in 75.
And you got married to?
Patricia. Patricia. Her brother's gone out the door there, Peter.
Yeah.
So now.
Patricia, do you remember that day, the day that you got married?
Oh, yes, I do. It was a bad day.
There was snowing
snow
that day,
yeah.
It was in February.
That day, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm. And
see that, Joe? Have a look at that. Not a big load of money to be getting.
Yeah, it was a bad day, snowing and rain.
Oh, where did you come from yourself?
Yeah, I just live up the road.
Oh, yeah, so you didn't have far
no,
to go.
No, she's about a mile and a half.
Was my brother Peter gone out there.
Sorry,
yeah.
Thanks.
And the I suppose getting married in those days was you know that there wasn't a honeymoon as such, was it?
No, there was no honeymoon.
No,
no.
I couldn't afford it.
No.
Yeah.
And
But was there a celebration? You know, was it?
Ah, yeah, we had a bit of a do.
Yeah, yeah. Was it in the old-fashioned way of doing it? The do was in the house, or
yeah,
was it?
Yeah,
it was in the house.
Yeah, in the
yeah.
house. Yeah, open floor house. Yeah.
Did you have the straw buys, or you know, any of that? You know, the way that
no,
down the country,
no, we
you'd
didn't have any of
them. Yeah.
No.
And who played? Was there a local fellow with an instrument? Or
yeah, there was a woman used to work down in Crook's Lane. She came from Cavan, and her brother played an accordion and all up there. So now,
yeah,
I remember all the old people around and all what they were at. You know,
what do you remember about the old people then?
Well, the man that lived down the road here, his name was Jim Hodgins. And he'd be have a farm, that farm out there in front, it went up to the river up there. And he used to have cattle and horses and all out there. But on a wet day, he'd be drawn up the manure up the field with the horse and car. And then he'd come over at night to the fire here, you know, and tell all yardens and that. So then the other fella next door to him, his name was Jimmy Morden. So he had all yardens and all as well. He used to come up an odd time when he'd want a bit of help with a cow calving or that, he'd come up, you know.
And what kind were the yarns that would you listen in and...
Oh, she wouldn't know what to come out with, you know. You wouldn't know what to come out with. Now, my father had great old yardens, but I can't think of any of them. He was great for the yardens.
And would these be stories made up about things that happened here?
Yeah, you're talking
locally?
About old people, but in their time, the old people, you know, the things they used to do and all.
But that's fascinating, isn't
it? Yeah.
Because, you know, you're coming down another generation.
Yeah.
But the stories were great.
Oh, right? Yeah, they were great. I would crack listening to them, you know that?
Yeah. And were they in any way, were they supernatural stories? Were the stories about the fairies or, I mean, was that?
They used to tell stories about fairies, but then no one, some people believed in the fairies and more didn't, you know. There was a big moat out the back here. And they said it was a fairy's moat. So everyone was kind of afraid of the moat. So then this fella bought and he built a house on it. And he put up a big television mask on it. So the next thing was they took down the television mask and they levelled the moat. So the fairies didn't touch them anyhow. I think there was no such a thing as a fairy.
Yeah, well, I mean, they played a good part for a long time.
Oh,
though,
yeah, they
protecting
did.
The ring forts and that.
The boogeyman and all that, racket. You'd be afraid to go to bed after listening to them.
What about the, you know, the entertainment was in the house, though. Like you said, the storyteller would come in. And
should the television ruin the houses? Do you know that? We had an old gramophone here, and they used to come for miles around to listen to it. One of these old wind-up gramophones, you know.
And they'd all come in and listen to
it. Yeah, and then we got a battery radio, and they'd come to listen to Michael O'Hare, Lord of Mercy, and I'm giving out the matches and all on a Sunday. And the radio wouldn't be put on until the match had started, in case they'd run down the battery, you know. A wet battery and a dry battery in it.
Yeah, and you know that. Do you remember the radio coming in for the first time?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, and we'd have stick out there on the end of the wall. We used to pull it up for an aerial for the radio, and then when we'd let the stick down, cause so as they wouldn't have to pay the television or the radio license. You know, it was very little that time.
A way of avoiding the payments on it.
Yeah.
Did you go into Dublin much? I mean, was that something?
No.
You know, or would you just keep to yourselves out here?
You know, we didn't go to Dublin much. Only when I'd be going to the hospital or that, the Mead Hospital, I used to attend that with my leg. I'd be only going in there maybe once or twice a year. That's all. See how I was doing. But then later on, the Hudson brothers over there, later on we used to go into Dublin a good bit at night, you know, into pictures and dances and all.
And that was a night out, was
it? Yeah, great time. We go always before the All-Ireland final, it was Saturday night, we'd have a great night in there. They'd be all up from the country for the match, you know.
Yeah, but did you have a mobile picture drum coming here?
The fella used to come to the Blue now, or the British Inn down here now and again, show pictures. So it was a great thing that time. It's the only picture we're seeing. You know?
And who was it that came out?
I can't think of his name now.
And what kind of pictures were they showing?
He'd show Carry On Constable and Mother Riley and all that. Carry On Sergeant.
Yeah, and they were the popular ones,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
But Eamon, you must remember that, like working on the land, you'd know the field names around.
Oh
here.
Yeah.
And the place you were working in, what's the name of the place?
That is called Corrymeela. That's the name they call the house up there in the fields, and Corrymeela. And Joe has a field over there called the Lime Kale. And then there's another field joins us up there called the Gallaroo.
Yeah.
So,
and all of these fields would have a meaning, something went on there.
Then we've a little field up there they call a Kearney's Field. I don't know why it was called that.
Any trace of any house there?
No, there's not a thing.
But owned by, or did you know any family by the name of Kearney?
No,
anywhere?
I don't know why they call it Kearney's Field, but that's the name, Kearney's Field.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? Because with the names of the fields, you'd have an idea of what happened in that place at that time.
We always wondered how the field called the Gallia Rue. Rue is red, isn't it? What would Gallia mean?
It's some sort of Irish, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, Rue is red and was full of ferns, bracken. So whether that had happened to do with it or not. You know the way that goes reddish in the winter.
Yeah, but even if you look outside your window, look at the colour in the landscape. Yeah. You've got the deep purple mountains in
the
background.
Well, that far field over there, now there was two sand pits in that years ago, white sand. And Jim Mansfield owns it now, the fella who owns the City West, he owns that over there.
And do you remember when it's all one big long field now? Do you remember when it was all broken up?
I remember it well when it was all fours and everything. A big ditch went up it. So he levelled the whole lot, made it all into one and filled in the pits.
And at one stage, there were two sand pits there.
Yeah, two white sand pits.
And do you remember lads drawing the sand from there?
Yeah, we got some out with ourselves too, with a horse and car years ago.
Damon.
Yes.
He was in the IRA.
Your uncle was in the IRA.
Kit Hyans. And the black and tans and all them were looking for him. And Mrs. Hill, David Hill's mother, put Kit Hyans into the church and put the lid on him. And they said, pull the house to bits, Hill's house to bits, and they never looked into the church. He was in the church.
He was hiding in the church.
They will dash Jordan, you know.
Yeah.
How
did he fit into it?
Guinness Bardley, he's ducked down in. But if he had a coughed or sneezed or done anything else, they had him, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember the training up here, the army camp? Wasn't there a firing range over here?
Yeah, that's the way up in Manor Kilbrow. Up at the back of that mountain is the firing range. If you're here now in the evening, you see them sending up flares over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you always notice, do you remember the Second World War? You do, of course.
In hospital that time. I remember the German planes and all coming over. They had to put out the light at a certain time at night. Only old paraffin lamps and a candle in case they'd see the light and they dropped the bomb, do you know?
Yeah.
And the North Strand, I remember when that happened.
And
of course you were too young and
Joe was ahead, he was a few years ahead of me, you know.
you'd have those memories, Joe. Going back to the blacksmithing again, and your grandfather that was blacksmithing.
Was he
a busy man? Did your father talk about him much?
Yeah, he always talked about him shoeing the horses and making the rims for the wheels and all that racket, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Tell him about Jack the Ranter.
I didn't know him, Joe. I just heard of him all right.
Well, I remember.
I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was Jack the Ranter?
Jack the Ranter lived off up there. Whereabouts up near John Connors?
Bournemouth Field. Yeah. That's where he lived.
And he always claimed to have relations to the royal family in England. This was his story. And he had a big hoopy nose, and there was always a drip coming out of it, and he lived in that. Do you know anything more about
him? No, I don't know. I heard them talking about him, Joe, but I don't know anything about him.
Did you know any characters in the...
There was a big fella used to live up the main road there. Tom Cowan was his name. And he was the handy man around, when no matter what broke around the got Kevin, blade of a knife he'd fix it with or anything. Bit of leather, tongue of a boat. That was when the mowing, when the hay season had started, the mowing machines were breaking. Yeah. Kevin was a busy man and he'd oil it with something else.
You mean that yes, indeed. Oh, he'd sneeze on it, yeah. But he was a character, was he? Patricia, did you know any, I mean, sometimes you'd have great women who would be very colourful figures in that, you know. Did you know them, or were you familiar with any of them? Or because usually, you know, women had the gift of healing, and you know, they were sometimes very good at giving cures. Or did you know anybody who was good with cures up here that could fix it?
The cow's blood. If you got the ringworm or anything on you, the cow man would come and put a bit of thread around his finger and say a few prayers and give it a prick of a needle and rub the blood on it. And 3 days' time, you see, they would ringworm dying off.
And what did they call that man again?
Kyo. He'd have to be a Kyo, but, you know.
The name Kyo. Yeah. So anyone with the surname Kyo could do it.
All right. But was he known as a quack? Or was
No. Just even the women, once they were Kyoas, the name of Kyoas. But a fella told me any blood, he said a drop out of an owl hen will do.
Yeah, probably.
He said once it's warm.
And did you hear of any other cures, or was
we heard the cures for the horses years ago. Something used to happen to horses, and they get someone to come and do something with them and cure them. I can't think of now what it was. Yeah. You probably remember that, Joe,
Because the animals were very precious to the farmer. Yeah, I mean, if your horse died, you were in trouble.
Oh yeah,
financially.
And then the vet, you had to get a vet from Nace or somewhere. It was near a vet handy like now, do you know?
What about the cooking then that went on, Patricia? Did you do? Was this an open heart at one stage, or did you?
No. She wouldn't remember that. No, there was a big owl fireplace here, 2 big hobs up on it. The 4 of us could get up on it, no problem, and sleep on it, you know that?
And look up the chimney.
Yeah, those owl lads come and lying on it half of the night. This fella came in one time. There was a bit of bread was in the places on the table, you see, on the plate. And my grandmother handed him over the plate to take a cut out of it. And what did he do when he take the whole plate? And there's no other bread in the place, only what was on the plate. And my father, Lord of Mercy, said he had 2 big tea here. And he took a bite out of all the cuts of bread so as no one else could touch them.
Good idea.
He said he'd a mouth on him like a raper and binder.
But, you know, I suppose some of the stories that they were funny as well. But, you know, and money wasn't plentiful either.
There was no money in the place. You couldn't get a penny. I remember one time here we wanted a paper, and the paper was tuppence at the time, and we'd 1 penny, couldn't get the second one. Now.
Oh, would the paper, when it was got, would it be red from cover to cover?
Red inside out. It wouldn't light the fire for a week in case.
This one.
And once it was on the paper, I believed it. Okay. And this man said to me one time, he said, paper never refuses ink.
Yeah.
Now, I said it was on the paper, and I in Egypt believed it. Thought it was the truth once it was on the paper.
And was there somebody here that would actually read the paper to other, you know, if the lads came in for a chat around the fire, would the paper be read to them?
Yeah, there's someone.
They'd discuss what's in the paper and that. Yeah.
what horses was going to win and who was playing the matches and all this racket, you know.
And then
if there was a murder or anything anywhere, geez, was the talk of the country.
Yeah.
Now it's every day. There's not a word about it.
Yeah. And of course, in that time, it was
I remember one time the school was broken into down here, and the guards nearly searched the houses. They got the lads and broke into it, and all they got was a handful of old pencils. You know that? They could take the school now and wouldn't bother the whole lot.
You were talking about women. There was a lady up there, she was a French polisher, Mrs. Nugent.
Oh, yeah.
And she lived up there in a thatched house. So she was one of the famous ladies around.
And did she travel to the big houses?
Polishing? She went everywhere. Yeah. She was a French polisher.
She lived on her own, and she used to leave a hat on the table. And if anyone came to the door, she'd be talking into herself, making out with someone else in the house, you know, case that she'd be murdered. Well, the times was different that time, you know.
Yeah. What was her name?
Mrs. Nugent.
Yeah. Nugent, yeah.
And the tinkers were tinkers that time. They'd come to the door selling thread and all that racket. But they were decent tinkers, you know.
Yeah.
And did they camp out locally here?
Oh, yeah. They camped. There's an old road over there. They always camped on it with their barrel caravans, you know.
Yeah. And what were the names? Yeah, were they coffees or?
No, there were walls and
Walls.
Yeah, walls and what the...
McCarthy?
No. Walls was the popular ones around. Yeah. Oh, Cassius. The Cassius, they were good too. They owned race horses and everything.
Oh, were they? And they were on the side of the road. They were travellers. Living under the barrel caravans.
Yeah. Tinkers and everything. There are several different names on them. Travellers, tinsmiths.
And did they come to the house? Would they come here looking
for... Oh,
they'd
come and they'd make buckets. They used to make buckets out of the biscuit tins and roll the tin and make the rivets. That's what they made the rivets out of. Roll the tin. And the great hands, you know that?
Yeah.
And all they'd have is a piece of a girder. A piece of an old girder and some sort of a head of an old hammer. No tools or anything, but you want to see the stuff they used to turn now.
Buckets and all.
The plastic done away spoiled their business, but you know, so when the plastic came out, they lost their
business.
Great. Yeah.
And would the women then sell little
they'd
bits
be
and
selling thread and elastic and all that. Buttons and they'd have the basket and the whole lot, and they were decent creators, you know. They wouldn't they wouldn't come into the house to stand at the door.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be forward, you know, like what's going now.
Yeah, indeed. And they were there fortune tellers amongst them, or was that something that...
No, I don't remember fortune tellers.
You know, as well as the tinker, you had the knights of the road. You had the poor people, the wanderers.
A fella used to come. He was educated now, so he was well read, and he wore a cap and played a tin whistle. And he used to come into our place, and we'd let him sleep in a shed for a couple of nights. And he always had Reader's Digest books with him. But he could converse on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name?
We never found out his name. I don't think they ever asked him, you know. But he was very well read.
Yeah.
Some of them are very decent and nice, you know.
Then there was a guy called Paddy Woolley.
Oh, you remember him,
Ginger beard.
Mm.
And they'd scared the life out of him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we had another lad, Paddy Wrigley, used to knock. He was another knockabout. And the lake was froze down there one time. He rode a bike across it.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a dare, or did he just do it out of
the... When the lakes would be frozen, there'd be that depth of ice on it. And the skaters would come out from town and everything. The place would be packed.
Would it? Yes, indeed.
And he pulled the bus one time with his teeth, tied a rope out of the bus and put the rope in his mouth and reverse back, and he pulled the bus. A couple of feet.
But talk to me now about the main people here who used to employ were the paper mills. Pollards, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Sagerton. What was it?
Swiftbrook.
Swiftbrook. And Clendalkin Mill.
And Killeen. Yeah. And there was another one. Can't remember what it was. There was three or four males.
Yeah.
And they were the people who gave employment to, most of the people.
Yeah, if you got a job in that, you were right for life. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what job you get. Now you're not in it for life. So now.
And was that something that did you consider working in the mills at one stage, or did you?
No, I didn't get much education because I was in the hospital, but I went to work up in Bewley's all the time. That's where I spent most of my time till I retired out of it. Then I got a job over in the school, caretaking the school.
Yeah.
So I'd done 20 years over there.
And what were you doing in Bewley's?
On the farm.
The work in the land.
Yeah.
And would you have met the Bewley family, or would you?
Oh, yeah, that's one of them went out the door. That's the youngest girl, that one. When yous were coming in, she was going out.
Yeah.
Heather. She's the youngest girl.
And you know, the work that you did there over the years, you know, would you see all the changes now? I mean, the farming has gone a different direction.
It's bunched all together, and it's only for the big fella now, you know. Sure, everyone had a couple of pigs years ago, and a couple of cattle and a cow and everything. All that's gone. You can't have nothing now, sure.
The other big changes in your life would have been electricity, and do you remember when there was no electricity in the house?
I do, I was afraid of my life with the candle, because there was always a shadow off of the candle, and you think there was someone following you, or the old paraffin lamp, you know, and you turned it up at all, and next thing the globe was gone, and you might wait till the weekend to get a globe if someone was going to Dublin, because there wouldn't be a globe knocking around too handy, you know. And the paraffin oil was 7 months halfpenny at the time.
Yeah. Was every penny counted for?
Oh, yeah. Sure, 7 months halfpenny that time was like £100 a day. You know that?
Yeah. And was there any using, obviously you didn't have a bank account or anything.
No, not at all.
The money.
The only bank we knew was Malone's bank over there.
What do you mean, Malone's Bank?
There's a place over there called Malone's Bank. Yeah. That's the only bank we know.
Oh, yes,
now.
Yes.
Yeah. John Moriarty lives over there on it. He's another Kerry man. So now.
Yeah.
He's in charge of the whole civil defence thing now. He was in the army, but he's in charge of all the civil defence area, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, but going back to the money, would the money be kept in a biscuit tin or something under the mantelpiece?
I'd never seen a biscuit tin. You get it in this hand, give it away in the other one.
Yeah, but Patricia, it was always the women's responsibility to try and get the money and to mind it. Was that something that you know, that usually the woman in the house would kind of look after every penny? Was that something that you did, or?
We have three daughters, and they'd, you know, give me the money, and I'd say, well, I'll mind that.
Yeah. No.
So you were the one to look after it then, in the end.
Yeah.
Patricia's father knew how to mind money.
No, my father knew how to.
Because people didn't actually put money in the bank long ago. They really hid it in the house.
Hadn't got to go to the bank with, you know, they didn't have it. Most people was just depending on Friday to Friday or Saturday. You got paid that time on a Saturday, it wasn't on a Friday. So now they're getting it on a Thursday, some of the times on a Wednesday, and it's gone before Friday.
Yeah. And do you remember a time when there was no handouts, there was no social welfare, nothing, you had to make a go.
No children's allowance or anything in the years. And we had a friend lived in town. The minute the husband would take off his suit for Sunday night, Monday morning was going to the pawn office. I don't know what she used to get, 5 shillings or something, but when you get paid in on a Friday or Saturday, she'd have to go and get the sous how. So that's how they lived. And if there was a funeral or anything in the meantime in the week, during the week, she'd have to go and get 5 shillings off of someone to get the sous how. Shoes and the coats and the whole lot, short, anything. He'd have nothing to go on him if anything happened, you know.
And who was the pawnbroker around here?
Oh, they were all in town. Kilbride's, that owns the pub in Jobstown. Now, one of them, their uncles was a pawnbroker.
And they were kind of bankers in a way, because they'd take in your clothes.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Then you had the Jew men coming around selling blankets and mattresses and coats. And when you'd have the coat nearly paid for, the talk into buying something else. Yeah. So I never entertained any of them. If I don't have the money, I don't get it.
Would these Jew men, as you call them, would they give you credit then?
No, all I remember is they come to buy old fowl, right? Hens or horse hair. Yeah. You know when you cut a horse's tail, there'd be that loads of hair. And they'd buy horse hair. This was during the war. And I remember this old Jew man coming to the house to look at the hens. And he, to put it crudely, he examined one of the hens and he said to mother, "That hen is egg bound." He didn't. This, I remember her telling us that. So there was loads of Jew men calling.
And this was during the war years, where they would...
just call.
And do you remember the what would they pay for horse hair at the time?
I haven't a clue what they'd pay for it, but they were always looking for horse hair or fowl.
They'd be looking for rabbit skins too, to make the fur coats and all. And any old rags that had buttons in it, they'd buy all them. They give you not a couple of pennies. They used to bring the lorry loads of rags to the mill because they used to make the paper out of the rags.
And the rag loft down the Saggard Mill, and they made a paper out of rags down the Swiftbrook.
Then anyone from Saggard, they used to call them the rag pickers, because they'd be picking they'd be cutting the buttons out of the rags. You see, they couldn't put the rags into the machine with the buttons in them.
And the men you're talking about, these Jew men, who were they? Do you know their names?
No.
They were just known as
professional chancers.
Oh, yeah, but they but you just called them the Jew men, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they were not necessarily Jews, were they?
They were Jews.
And that's interesting, and you know the. But they were able to make money out of all these little bits. And did you go snaring to try and get a few hares for them, rabbits? Or?
Yeah, rabbits. The rabbits were that plentiful over there in that hill that a fella up the road said he used to call Jimmy Morden, was his name, lived down here. But this fella used to call him Jimmy Mordens. He said there were that plentiful on Mordens' hill that they had to queue with the Boris. You know that fella up the road, Joe. Patsy.
Yeah.
And was Patsy who?
Patsy Kelly.
And was he, he'd go out there all the time snaring, would he?
Not at all. The rabbit gave himself up, he might take him.
But did you catch a few yourself?
Yeah, we had a ferret. We used to go ferreting. And we used to bring them down. When the money would be very scarce, my father wouldn't be working or that, we'd bring them down to the Blue and watch. There was a fella in Blessington had a lorry called Sheridan, Eric Sheridan
his brother.
Yeah, Wahi. They used to go into town every day with a load of stuff and come back. And they'd give them the rabbits to bring into cartons and to be waiting for them that evening when they come back with the cheque. Whatever, 1 and 6 a rabbit or whatever they got for them. Didn't get a lot for them that time.
And would the, I suppose, it's a, and again, you know, everything was the clothes in the house. They weren't thrown out. They were either handed down or repaired. Yeah. And do you remember recycling clothes, Patricia and that? Or not recycling now, but, you know, nothing was kind of thrown out if it had a tear. You just sewed up in that.
She doesn't really remember any of that because she's younger, you know. But I remember Divey Market. Everyone used to be going to Divey Market. And they'd be afraid of their life to meet someone in there that they'd know, you know.
The Ivy Market.
Yeah, in Francis Lee.
And why? Because they didn't want to see them.
Yeah, if I met you in there and I buy in clothes and make
it was
a show.
All secondhand stuff.
Yeah.
In the Ivy Market.
Oh, I see.
You get the best of stuff in there, boss. Jeez, half of Ireland was dressed out of it.
Yeah.
You know that.
Out of the Ivy Market. Yeah,
Ivy Market. It's gone now. It was in Francis Street in town. Yeah. Used to sell fish and vegetables and everything in there. Yeah.
And would you frequent that place often yourself?
I would go into it an odd time. Now, not I didn't go into it a whole lot, but I did go into it an odd time.
Yeah. And would you bring in, would you go in to buy or would you go in to bring in stuff?
No, I'd just go in around town. I'd be going to the Adelaide over in Peter Street and I'd make a day out of it then when I'd be in there, you know.
And that was a place you'd really like to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd visit old antique places in there as well, you know, anywhere there was old furniture or that. There's loads of them in there around Francis Street and Thomas Street and all them places that time.
Yeah.
So they're all gone now, departments and everywhere, you know.
Well, Francis Street is the in place now for antique shops.
Yeah.
And but do you remember it years ago, do you, when you were in there and you were prowling around?
Yeah.
Was there a furniture maker out around here? Was there a man who made old dressers and tables?
No.
Or was there a man who'd Sugan? Were chairs Sugan or?
No, there was none of them around. There was very few handy men around here years ago. The like of this Cowan now. He was the only lad. Matter what went wrong during the haymaking, they got him. Yeah. And he come with a blade of a knife or a piece of leather or something and fix it. You know?
Yeah. You tell him about Jim Fox, how good he was, as good as any vet.
Oh, yeah. He used to go around curing the cattle. Up the road there. And if there's a cow sick or anything, you get Jim Fox and Jim would come down. Then there's another lad down that he lived, Patsy Bryan Joe, then beside you. Patsy, Patsy used to chew the tobacco.
Patsy, I went in one day, Patsy's cowhouse. There was Patsy's cowhouse and there was his kitchen. So you had to go in through the cowhouse to go into Patsy's kitchen. So one day, mother sent me down to Patsy for something, I can't remember what, and he was busy milking the cow and talking to himself, and he was giving out about his nephew, and he was milking the cow into the bucket, and he says, I won't give you £70, I won't give you £70, you're in the public houses and on the buses. He was giving out about his nephew, because the nephew was always touching him up for money.
Yeah, but you know, I suppose the way that that's the way people got through with life, you know, that you listen to what stories were going
that's
around.
Funny,
yeah. Hey, the cars at night, he thought there were lights on them. The headlamps with the light. Let them pull up, let them pull up, he roared. This night, this car didn't pull up and hit him and broke his leg.
So was John Connor, wasn't it?
No, Patsy. Oh. No, yeah. John Connor... It was another, he was a nephew of Patsy's. He was another quare hawk.
Yeah.
John, some of them broke his leg, you see.
Yeah.
And someone said to Patsy on the bus, how is John's leg? Well, to say his own leg is all right, but McGowan's leg will never be right.
Yeah.
McGowan, one of the McGowans is after breaking him up too, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, what about musicians out here? Were there good singers?
Oh, there were great singers out here. And then there was a thing called the Brido. You heard of that, Joe,
did
you?
I did, but I never remember singing them.
It was like the Ran Boys now. They'd be going around to the houses all dressed up, different houses at night. And they'd singing and dancing. And all. Yeah. They'd be all dressed quite with old things on them. And all.
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember them either, but I heard them talking about them.
You know, the Ran Boys.
Yeah. No, the way you use of something down in Kerry like that, don't you?
Yeah, and what do you call them up here?
The Breedog.
The Breedog. And would they be on St. Bridget's Day now? Would they go?
No, they go around the winter time, most of the winter. Once the bright evenings came in, then they didn't go.
Yeah.
But they did. It wasn't in any particular.
No, they'd go miles out of their way, you know. They go to. Over to Bowen and Breen and different houses, a different house every night to go to.
How would they, and did can you describe how they were dressed up? Or were they, did they use straw?
Well, I didn't know them now, only what I heard about them, do you know? They get old hats and coats and
things like that.
Queer trousers on them and that and head off, do you know?
What's screeching? A hen, is it?
Yeah, a hen outside they're lying out there around the door, that's what they're doing.
And you still have the fowl around the house? And
There's 17 hens out there and 2 cocks. That's what's out there.
Yeah, and that'll keep you going in eggs for a while. But but eggs were the Christmas money for the... Well, in fact, they were the money for the house,
well,
really.
Well, I tell you, the eggs at that time couldn't be got. And at Christmas time, a dozen of eggs was 6 shillings. And 6 shillings that time, Joe, was like 300 a day. Couldn't get them. You can get eggs any day of the year now, every day. And a turkey couldn't be got honey at Christmas, or a goose.
There was no battery.
No such a thing as artificial light around that time, you know.
Yeah.
Any bit of light there was, was the paraffin lamp and the candle. That's all.
And would you go to extra trouble to try and get those eggs during the...
Oh, should I be saving them up for cakes and then someone would come looking, you know, have you any eggs? And there's a woman over here in the cottages, Mrs. Allen, and she'd a delicate daughter and she was always looking for eggs. I remember going over across the field with a dozen to her. She gave me 6 shillings. Yeah. 6 shillings that time was a lot of money that time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up to Christmas, there wouldn't be an egg in the country anywhere.
Yeah.
You always have plenty of fowl around here, eh? About the card games.
I never played cards, but there were always
people around.
Yeah, there were always in here playing cards and all.
And in the house here, was there a donkey or was there a mule?
Had horses here, the 2 horses here. My father was mad after horses.
Yeah.
There was one grey lad here, he was mad. They went up to get a lind of a bogey off of Mrs. Dowd up there one Sunday to bring in hay, and he reared up and went mad, nearly wrecked the bogey. So she told him to bring him home, and she gave him a lind of their horse.
Mm-hmm. Because the horse was everything in on the farm and
that.
And so your father, he took great interest in horses.
Yeah,
where did he work himself?
He worked over for Tom Watkins, Gay Burden's father-in-law, for years, loading lorries with a shovel. He told me, he said he often came home in the evening, he couldn't open his hands from the shoveling all day for very little a week, because his father died when he was young. He had to go to work at 12 or 13 to keep the rest of them, do you know?
And how many in the family?
There were 6 of them, 2 girls and 4 lads.
And when you say he was shoveling, was he?
Yeah, shoveling. No other way of loading the lorries that time when he was shoveling. And sometimes they'd have to lie a lorry tire to show them light to load the lorry. And then stuff had to be thrown off of them as well. They didn't tip up like now.
What was he loading on and off?
Sand and gravel.
From the pits up
here? Then he went driving a lorry, a sand lorry, for Jack Hale. He used to draw cattle and turf and all that. And then he got a job in Holmes. He drawing sand and gravel and as well, you know.
Everything was manually. There was difficult at the time, and you know yourself, spending all day shoveling.
Then cocking the hay, you know, making the hay and cocking them and pulling the boots and heading it and all this, and then you had to bring it in and make a reek out of it and head that as well, and then you had to go and cut turf for to try to keep the fire going. There's nothing easy about it, I'll tell you that.
And there was no time wasted.
No, so no one had a minute. But the neighbours was all very good. They all helped one another. Not like now.
No.
You have to have a barrel of porter now and a sack of money to get anyone to do anything for you.
Yeah.
No.
That's
True. Yeah.
Did you know anybody involved in the forestry here close by, or were you involved in the forestry ever?
No, never anything to do with, never worked in or anything. But I knew loads of lads who did work in it. Paddy Hudson, he worked in, and Dan Doan, and Mick Kelly, and good few. Gus Kiao.
And the type of way that they'd cut the tree down and then they'd pull it out with the horse, isn't that?
Yeah, right, slide it out for the lorry.
Yeah.
But now, they've all different ways of doing them now. They even take the bark off of them now with this machine they have. It cuts them and barks them and does the lot.
The other aspect of rural life is the language itself.
Yeah.
And the way people put sentences together.
Yes, yeah.
And but was there Irish taught was there Irish in your house at any stage?
No.
Not a word.
No. The only bit I have in my head is doing the veil and six sheets and a duskel and Doris and doing and Doris and a few things like that. Do you know?
Yeah.
I don't know any more about it.
And from listening to the older lads, would you have noticed a different way of the way that they express themselves?
Yeah, they had funny old sayings, you know, the way they say things. I can't even think of any of them now, do you know? The brudge. They used to call it, we'd say the bridge, they call it the brudge.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Or away a din. That was another thing. You were saying you were down in, I was away a din in Navan. You know, they wouldn't say it was in Navan. I was away a din in Navan.
Yeah.
Or how somebody would greet you in the morning or the evening. Yeah. You know, it wasn't just hello or hi or... You know,
or did you feed them calves or something? Did you give the cow hay or something? That's the way you'd be greeted. You wouldn't get anything that swanky. Dublin people anywhere, the way that they say the ma. And another, what's this other saying they have? Another saying too. You hear them on, the minute they open their mouth on the television, you know, they're Dublin. The bleeding culture, that's me.
But do you think your accent now would be different to inside in Dublin and parts of Dublin?
Yeah, it would be, yeah. They all think I'm from Wicklow. But I do leave it, so I hate to say I'm from County Dublin.
Let them
think. you're living very close to the Wicklow border.
Yeah, we're only a half a mile from it, that's all.
Yeah.
Less, I think, Joe, are we? Up at Douglas Sheridan. Yeah, yeah. Douglas Sheridan, yeah. That's another one with the Dublins. You know. I had the right few gaggles last night with the ma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a lot of people would use a certain amount of bad language running through a word too.
Yeah.
And you know, it did.
So my father worked in there with them in the corporation, and they thought he was loaded. He had to do anything outside the door and pick up everything. Yeah. And her father worked in the corporation too, and he used to bring in this little drop of milk in a baby powder and tell them, that's all she gave this morning. The touch was to be looking for eggs and milk potatoes and everything. Yeah. Any lead out there?
Any lead on your roof
down there, Joe, is there? They'll be watching, wanting to rob the lead, copper and all that racket. Yeah. Take the air with your head.
Yeah, come back for the second
one. I had to go down to a woman in Four House to learn to read and write a bit. I'm still not great at it. I can count and all, knows the time and all, but I'm still not great at the reading and writing now.
Hmm.
And I was done 3.5 years in Capahá, and I was starved with the nones and murdered with them. And let no one tell you that they're saints, because they're the greatest bitches ever was. I'll tell you that now. And they had a winkers on them that time. And they turned to look at you.
Yeah. But you know what, I mean? They'd want to come back now and run the hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, they'd be run well if the nuns were back.
Yeah. Hmm. And the cross baiting the shins off of them. Big, shiny yeah, cross. Yeah. So now...
And you were there for 3.5 years.
I went out to visit a lad there about 7 years ago, and the minute I went in the door, what did I see hanging up on the wall? One of these bitch of a known. I felt like tearing her off of the wall, you know that? And Macaulay was the surgeon, and he cut her leg off you without numbing her or anything. It was an animal. Yeah.
Really?
Whipped you with her leg and saw.
Was he really? Oh, who was he? Yes, he was the doctor there.
He was the surgeon, yeah. There was an old man around here years ago, and he said 1903, there was a very strong wind, and they had to put the manure from the cattle up on the houses to keep the roofs on them. They're up all night tying down roofs. But the old houses weren't very well built that time, but the wind was very strong. Paddy Fardell was his name. Yeah. You remember him, Joe, yeah.
And he used to tie the manure?
Heaps of manure. Putting them up on the roofs of sheds all night, and putting blocks and anything they could get to go up on them to keep the wind from blowing them down. 1903 that was. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead and gone now. He'd be well in his hundreds now.
They're old and father. They were brothers, and he always felt sorry for her, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because her husband wasn't, you know, great. And
he was fond of the drink, you know, the husband,
and
yeah.
The father used to feel sorry and he'd try and help her out and, you know, things like that.
Oh, everybody kind of helped one another.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They'd go up and they'd give a helping hand and that,
Yeah.
Oh, daughters. Emma and Suzanne.
Oh, have you? Eamon, I could stay here talking to you all day.
Yeah, well, I could come up with more yards, but at the moment their old head has gone dead, you know.
But you... No, I thought actually your stories today now are brilliant. But the... there is generally... in every locality you have stories about the customs and... what people did at different times of the year. And you told me about Christmas and how scarce eggs were. What would go on? We're in Easter now, so what would go on for Easter years ago? What do you remember about Easter?
It was just the same as any other day, you know. Wasn't much difference in it.
But do you remember going to church on a holy
Deanne, I had an aunt lived up in Blessington now, and she'd run me up to the chapel and all. If I was up with her now, I'd have to go up to the chapel to pray and all. Good Friday and the whole lot. And Good Friday at that time, the radio, there was nowhere open. The radio and everything was closed there, and pubs and everything was closed. There was no radio or nothing. And you couldn't eat meat on a Friday, and the fishman used to come to Britain's on a Friday here, and everyone would be saying, did you see the fishman? Is the fishman gone? We all getting fish for the dinner and tea off of him. I mean, the big old leather jacket on him, I forget what you call it, there was no sleeves in it. It's all leather, and we all messed up with the fish and all.
And a nice fishy smell off. Eamon Hines here in Britain. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And thanks, Patricia, as well, for saying a few words.